Dear Sangha, we shall begin with the chanting. The monastics are going to chant the name of Bodhisattva of Deep Listening, Avalokiteshvara. And while chanting, they do their best in order to touch the suffering inside of them and in the world. And the purpose of the practice is to allow the energy of compassion to be born. That is a kind of energy that has the power to heal and to transform. And therefore we are all invited to do the same, although we only listen. But we can also allow ourselves to be in touch with the suffering inside of us and in the world, so that the energy of compassion should also be born in us. And when that energy is a collective one, it will have a power to heal and to transform ourselves and the world. For the first time of chanting the name Namo Avalokiteshvaraya, we go home to ourselves and recognize and get in touch with the suffering inside of us. Some of that has been transmitted to us by our ancestors and parents. And when we hear the second time of chanting, we are aware of the suffering of those around us. And again, we allow the energy of compassion to be born. And when the monastic chant the name for the third time, we allow ourselves to be aware of the suffering in the world, everywhere. And the practice is to get in touch with the suffering, to listen to it. That is the practice of Avalokiteshvara. And together we will create that kind of energy that will heal and transform. Let us allow ourselves to be fully present in the here and the now. Not thinking about the past or the future. Just allow our body to release the tension and allow the collective energy of the Sangha to penetrate into our body. If there is a tension and pain in our body, that energy will be able to embrace and help release the tension and the pain in ourselves. If we have some fear and pain in our heart, we should be able to open our heart so that the collective energy of the Sangha could penetrate and hold it dearly, and we will feel better after a few minutes of listening. And if there is someone close to us who suffers at this moment but who cannot come, we can very well allow that energy to be transferred to him or to her by just thinking of that person or calling his or her name silently inside, and then at home or in the hospital, that person will receive that energy of healing.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Yes, Sangha, today is December the 24th, the year 2011, and we are in the Assembly of Stars Meditation Hall of the Dharma Nectar Temple, Lower Hamlet, Plum Village. This is the first Dharma talk in English of the winter retreat. Let us sit in such a way that the energy of peace and compassion should be generated from our sitting and breathing. The practice of Plum Village is I have arrived, I'm home. Therefore, while breathing in, we have a chance to arrive, to feel at home, right in the here and the now. And this is possible with some training. When we breathe in, we stop all our thinking. We focus our attention on our in-breath. We bring our mind home to our body. And we feel established in the here and the now. That's the practice of arriving. Life is available only in the here and the now. And your in-breath can help you to arrive in the here and the now so that you will encounter life in that moment. Every time we walk, we can walk mindfully because each step made in mindfulness can also bring us back to the here and the now. so that we can encounter life with all the wonders in the here and the now. There will be a candlelit procession tonight at 7:15. We will start from the bell tower, and each of us will hold a candle and walk to this meditation hall. It will look beautiful in the form that we want it to be beautiful in the content also. Every step should bring us to the here and the now. And each one of us will hold a candle. The candle means light. Light is not only on the tip of the candle, but light is in our heart. We have to allow the light to be in our heart. With the light, we know where to go. And that light is mindfulness. Mindfulness is the kind of energy that helps us to know what is going on, what is there, what is happening in the present moment. And that is a kind of light. If we know where we are, what is happening, we will know what to do and what not to do in order for peace and happiness and compassion be possible. So not only we will hold the candle with light, but we hold the light of mindfulness in our heart with the practice of mindful breathing and mindful walking. We will walk slowly. Maybe when we breathe in, we just make one step. While breathing in and make one step, we allow mindfulness to be lit as a candle in our heart. And we know this is a very important moment to be alive and to be walking on this beautiful planet. Earth is a wonder. And that kind of awareness and insight can bring peace and happiness. Already, we know that at that moment, we don't have to run anymore. We might have run all our life, and this is the time to stop running. So breathing in mindfully, making a step mindfully, bring us to the here and the now. Help us to get the insight that we are alive. We are making steps on this beautiful planet. We don't want anything else. That is wonderful enough. That is marvelous enough to be alive, to breathe in and to make one step holding a candle with light and having the light of mindfulness and concentration and insight inside of us. And with the light of mindfulness in us, we become a saint, we become a Buddha, we become a Bodhisattva. We provide the world with light. We are made of body and mind. And our body is energy. We know now that matter is energy. It is a kind of strength, it's a kind of force. Although we do not do anything while sitting, but our body can radiate the energy of peace and compassion. Our body isn't exactly matter. It is energy. And our mind it is also energy. There are wholesome energy and there are unwholesome energy. The energy of the mind can be very powerful. The energy of hate and fear and anger can be very, very strong. It can be very destructive. And while we sit or walk, we do not generate that kind of energy, the energy of anger, of fear, of despair. Instead, we know how to generate the energy of mindfulness, of peace, and of compassion. We have learned that if we know how to get in touch with the suffering inside of us and in the world, we allow the energy of compassion to be born in us. And that kind of energy can heal and transform. So every one of us can sit in such a way that we become mindful of our body, mindful of our mind, that we can touch the wonders of life in us and around us, that we can allow the energy of compassion to arise, and sitting like that, we will radiate the energy of peace and compassion around us. And if three people sit together like that, radiating the energy of peace and compassion, all three of them benefit from the collective energy generated by three people. And when we have 300 people sitting together like that, and each one of us generate the energy of mindfulness, peace and compassion, and everyone in a group will receive the wholesome energy of peace, mindfulness and compassion for our nourishment and healing. That energy of peace and mindfulness does not come from elsewhere. It comes from us. It comes from our capacity to breathe and to walk and to sit mindfully, recognizing the wonders of life and generating the energy of concentration and insight and compassion. One day science will be able to measure that kind of energy emitted from every one of us. We know that when we sit like this, if everyone is mindful, peaceful, happy, and compassionate, everyone can feel that collective energy in the hall. Everyone gets the nourishment and healing. And that is what we produce as practitioners. The wholesome energy of peace, compassion, and insight. When you generate the energy of compassion and mindfulness, I also do the same thing. And we send waves of compassion and peace. And the waves of compassion and peace coming from everyone will come together. There will be an interference. They will enhance the quality of being of each person in us. And this is a very scientific. One day, when I was giving a Dhamma talk in Germany for 1,000 people, I noticed that there were a few young mothers feeding the baby on the first row on my left. And the babies felt very peaceful and happy. And they were getting the nourishment not only from the milk, but they get the energy from the Sangha. 1,000 people sit peacefully, generating energy of compassion. And there are two kinds of nutriments that the babies was getting. And I felt it very, very, very clear, very clearly. If you get together, sit together, breathe together, walk together in peace and mindfulness, generating compassion, we create that kind of wholesome energy. And when people come, they go feel it. They don't do anything, just allow themselves to be in that zone of energy. They feel much better. They feel the healing and the transformation taking place. So today, coming together, celebrating Christmas, we do very much the same thing as every day, but we do together. We shall have a session of sitting meditation, listening to the bell, the church bell from Moscow. We shall practice walking slowly with the candle. We shall share a meal, and we will do all these things in mindfulness. And together we will practice generating the collective energy of peace, mindfulness, insight, and compassion. When we practice like that, breathing in and arrive in the here and the now, we don't need anything else. We don't need to go anything else because we have arrived. We have arrived in the here and the now. We have arrived at where life, real life, is available, the present moment, with all the wonders. And we feel at home in the here and the now. If you breathe and walk in such a way that makes you feel at home, you know that you are a successful practitioner. You don't need someone to tell you. When you breathe, when you walk, when you sit, when you eat your lunch, and feel that you are home, you don't need to run anymore. You don't feel you do not long for anything anymore. It means that you are a good practitioner. You have succeeded in your practice. There are those of us who have a house, comfortable house, but we don't feel that we are home. We don't need anything. And yet we don't feel home. All of us have, all of us are looking for true home. And we know that we are happy only when we feel we are home. And the practice offered by Plumlish is to go home at every moment, wherever you find yourself in. Breathe and know that you have arrived. Breathe and you know that you are already home. One in-breath or one step can help us to get home, to be comfortable in the here and the now. That is the basic practice. And many of us have succeeded in that practice. And when you have become home for yourself, you become the home for other people at the same time. Now those of us who ask the question as where we shall go after we die. Many of us think of a pure land far away. Then after the disintegration of this body, we go there. That those of us who believe in a paradise, in heaven. And we believe that after we die, we will go there. And that will be a wonderful place to be. There will be no suffering there. But in this practice offered by Plumlish, you can arrive at your true home right in the here and the now. You don't need another place. And that true home is available now and here, not just after you die. While practicing walking, you may get in touch deeply with the planet Earth. And you may realize that Earth is your home. In Plumlish, we learn to look at the Bodhisattva, at the planet Earth as a Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva does not need to be a human being. The human race is a species that is relatively young on this planet. And in the teaching of Buddhism, everything has Buddha nature. You have heard perhaps the Kungan about whether a dog has Buddha nature or not. When I was a novice, I already learned that everything has Buddha nature. Not only a dog, but a deer, a leaf, a pebble, everything has the nature of the Buddha. Not only living animals are like that, but minerals and vegetables, they do have Buddha nature. If we look back at our beautiful planet, we see that the Earth is a real Bodhisattva. And while doing walking meditation, we might realize that the earth is the most beautiful bodhisattva you have ever seen. It's easy to see that the earth is beautiful. You look around, you have not seen any planet that is as beautiful as this one. The sun is also a bodhisattva. And that bodhisattva is very generous. He provides us with light, the source of life. Without the bodhisattva sun, there will be no life on earth. In the Buddhist tradition, we speak of a Buddha who offers light, infinite light, Amitabha Buddha. And the sun above our head is a Buddha of infinite light. You don't have to go anywhere to find that Buddha. That Buddha is available in the here and the now. That Buddha is in the sky, but is at the same time in every one of us. We cannot remove that Buddha from ourselves. When you contemplate the planet Earth, you see that she has many virtues. The first virtue is solidity, endurance. And you wish that you have that virtue also. Great endurance, great stability. And she can carry so many things. The second virtue is that she is very creative. She gave birth to so many beautiful species, including humans. And we wish to be as creative as this bodhisattva. Many of us are artists, but if you compare our work to the work of the earth, we see that she is the most talented artist. There are many talented composers, musicians among us. But the music created by Mother Earth is most wonderful. There are those of us who are excellent artists, painters, but it is the Earth who has painted the most beautiful landscapes. The Earth has many talents. And one of her greatest virtues is non-discrimination. We humans, we have done many silly things, harming her, but she is not getting angry at us. She gives us, she brings us to life, and she welcomes us back to her. No discrimination at all. Patience, stability, creative, love, non-discrimination are some of the qualities of this bodhisattva. And when you are able to recognize this bodhisattva, you feel the connection between you and her. You know that this bodhisattva earth is not just the environment where you live. You are her, You are a part of her, and she is in you. In the Buddhist literature, there is the name of a bodhisattva called the Bodhisattva Refreshing Earth. That is her. And she is the mother of many Buddhas, many bodhisattvas, many saints. The Buddha Shakyamuni is her son. Jesus Christ is her son. And our father, our mother are also her children. And it is a fact that when we die, when this body disintegrates, we go back to her. We have a place to go back. I take refuge in the Bodhisattva Great Earth. Every time we suffer, every time we lose ourselves, every time we feel alienated, we have to practice touching the earth in order to go back to her and restore ourselves. That is the practice we learn from Plum Village. The earth is not our environment. The earth is us. We are her children. And she is in every one of us. If we get sick, because we make ourselves alienated from her. So when we breathe in mindfully, when we abandon our regret, our sorrow, our fear, and go home to the here and the now, we realize that we have a body. This body has been given us by Mother Earth. Breathe mindfully and you know that you have a body. And your body is a wonder. If you can get in touch with your body, you become whole again. In your daily life, you spend many hours forgetting that you have a body. You get lost in your computer. You get lost in your worries and fear and anger and projects. You forget that you have a body. So to practice walking meditation, to practice mindful breathing, we come home to our body. We realize that we have a body, a precious body given us by the Bodhisattva Earth. And if we can connect with our body, we are alive again. And when we are connected with our body, we connect with Mother Earth and we begin to heal. Healing will not be possible without that kind of connection. So walking, breathing in such a way that you can connect with your body deeply, and by that way you can connect with Mother Earth. And your healing must go together with the healing of the planet Earth. The Earth is not the environment. The Earth is us. And it is easy enough to see that when you die, you go back to Mother Earth. She is always there, opening her arm to welcome you back. Why do you have to look for another place? If the earth help us to manifest once, she will do it again and again. And every time we manifest anew, we become more beautiful, newer, younger. There's no reason why we have to be afraid. Let us meditate, visualize a wave on the surface of the ocean. In the realm of phenomena, a wave is a wave. A wave can be disconnected with everything around her. A wave may be caught in fear, anger, uncertainty. A wave while coming up and going down can suffer a lot. And it may be that the wave like to ask the question, where is her home? Where does she come from? Where has she come from? And where she will go to. The life of a wave is very short, just coming up and going down. A wave may be caught in many kinds of suffering. The wave might be caught in the notion of being and non-being, birth and death, beautiful or not beautiful. The wave might be caught in complex of superiority or inferiority or equality. But there is a practice, a kind of practice, so that the wave can connect with herself. And by connecting with herself, she can connect with all other waves and the water inside of her. We have spoken about two kinds of theology, the vertical theology and the horizontal theology. With the vertical dimension, we try to get in touch with God, the absolute, the ultimate, our true nature. And that is a way of finding home. We will not find home unless we get in touch with that dimension, vertical theology. We have to touch nirvana, we have to touch suchness, we have to touch the ultimate reality, we have to touch God. And he asks all kinds of questions, whether God is a person, whether Almighty is a person or just something impersonal. Is God the creator of everything? Is God a force behind, outside of the cosmos? And philosophers are looking theologians have been looking, and even scientists have been looking for that ultimate dimension of reality. What are we? Where do we have we come from? We want to know our true nature, our roots. And that is one of our attempts to find out true home. And we know that when we have found out true home, we feel at peace with everything around us. And aware may be able to find that she is made of water. This is a beautiful image that serves as an example for us to meditate. A wave might suffer a lot from the notion of beginning, ending, birth and death, going up, going down, being or non-being. A wave can suffer when she compares herself with other waves, more or less beautiful. But when the wave is capable of touching herself deeply and realize she is water, everything changes. When she touches the ultimate dimension, when she touches her true nature, which is water, and then she is no longer afraid. Going up, she can laugh. Going down, she can laugh also. She's free from beginning, ending, birth and death, and so on. And she sees herself in other waves, because now she is water. She is not only a wave, but she is water. So when you get in touch with the vertical dimension, your true nature, you get at the same time in touch with the horizontal dimension. You make peace with all the other waves. You know that you are in them and they are in you. So the metaphor wave is very helpful in meditation. It is possible that the wave can touch her own true nature as water. And that is, by doing so, she succeeds in touching her vertical dimension. She touched God, she touched Nirvana, she touched her Buddhahood. She touched the ultimate reality. And when she has done that, she makes peace with every other waters because she is no longer separated from other waves. She saw all of them in her, and she is in everyone. The planet Earth is a realized bodhisattva. She can be seen in her historical dimension like us. There is a beginning, there is an ending, there is more beautiful or less beautiful, there is this or that. But the Bodhisattva Earth is no longer afraid because she is a realized Bodhisattva. she knows that she is the cosmos. The earth is made of non-earth elements. And it is possible for scientists of our time to discover that while trying to find out how the earth is made. They will be able, they may be able to see that earth is made only of non-earth elements. It's like this flower. Looking deeply into that flower, you see that flower is made of non-flower elements. And you see the sunshine, the cloud, the earth, the rain. Everything in the cosmos have come together in order to help the flower manifest. So all of us are like that. Our own body, our own mind, we are made of non-earth elements. And the whole cosmos have come together in order to produce us as a wonder. The earth is the same. She is a beautiful bodhisattva, but she is made of the whole cosmos, non-earth elements. And this can be expressed in scientific terms. In the historical dimension, there is birth and death, being and non-being, the same, the difference, the one or the many. But if we know how to touch the historical dimension deeply, we will touch the ultimate dimension. And we will touch our true nature of no birth and no death, no being and no non-being, exactly like the wave. In the beginning, the wave suffers because the notion of being and non-being, birth and death, but since she is able to touch the true nature in her, she becomes free. And she feels connected with a true nature of no birth, no death, no coming up, no going down. No this, no that. And she enjoys coming up, going down. So the same thing is true with every one of us, with our planet Earth. We have an ultimate dimension. And meditation, the practice of mindfulness, concentration, can bring us that insight that help us to find out to whom. In the Christian tradition, we learn that Jesus is the Son of God. It means that through Jesus, you can touch the ultimate dimension, the ultimate reality. And that ultimate reality, there are people who call it the ground of being, or the Almighty. But many of us realize that the human language is not good enough, is not capable of describing the ultimate reality in terms of notions and concepts and words. So we have to learn the language of symbols in order to talk about ultimate. Many theologians have agreed on that. Even scientists, they are very embarrassed about using notions and concepts to describe what is going on in the world of quantum physics. They have learned somehow that our notions, our words, have to be left behind before we can begin to understand. The ultimate reality of what is. But in the Christian tradition, we also learn that Jesus is the Son of Man. And Jesus himself called himself the Son of Man. One day he said, the Son of Man has nothing to lay his head on. So to me, as the Son of Man, he belongs to the historical dimension. Where there is being and non-being, birth and death, sameness or otherness, and so on. Notions that make us suffer a lot. Good and evil, happiness and suffering, being and non-being, all these notions can be at the foundation of our fear and despair and anxiety and suffering. So as the Son of Man, Jesus belonged to the historical dimension. But Jesus is not only the Son of Man, he is the Son of God. And if we get in touch with him deeply enough, we touch the ultimate dimension in him. We touch God in him. And in the ultimate dimension, he is the Son of God. But being the Son of God does not prevent you to be the Son of Man. So you have to learn to see Jesus at the same time as the Son of Man and the Son of God. In the Buddhist tradition, it's very clear that every one of us belong to the historical dimension. There is birth and death, being and non-being, happiness and suffering. Good and evil. We belong to that dimension. But we also, at the same time, belong to the ultimate dimension. Our true nature is also the nature of no birth and no death, no being and no non-being. And not only humans are like that, but everything is like that. Because everything has Buddha nature. everything has an outward dimension. Suppose you meditate on a cloud. It is not hard, it is not difficult to see the true nature of a cloud, even if we have to use notions and words. Looking deeply, we can see that our cloud is free of birth and death. Our cloud has an ultimate dimension. To be born means from nothing, you suddenly become something. That is our definition of birth. From the realm of non-being, you pass into the realm of being. That is what we mean by to be born. But that is not true in the case of a cloud. She has not come, your cloud has not come from the realm of non-being. Before expressing herself as a cloud, she had been something else. She had been the water in the ocean, the heat generated by the sun and sun, the water vapor. And many of us have contributed to the manifestation of our cloud. When we breathe out, we help the cloud to manifest. And in this Dhamma hall, although we do not see a cloud, but the cloud is there in the form of water vapor. So it is clear that the cloud has not come from the realm of nothingness, the realm of non-being. So her nature is nature of no birth. Not only Jesus has not come from the realm of non-being, but our cloud also has not come from the realm of non-being. And imagine that our cloud died. What does it mean? To die means from the realm of being, you pass into the realm of non-being. But when we observe a cloud, we don't see that. It is impossible for a cloud to become nothing, to die, to pass into the realm of non-being. A cloud can very well become rain or ice or snow. But it is impossible for a cloud to become nothing. And it's clear that the nature of the cloud is the nature of no death, no birth and no death. And if our cloud is capable of touching her true nature of no birth and no death, she will enjoy more being a cloud. To be a cloud is wonderful, but to be rain falling is also wonderful. So she transcends all fear, all anxiety, because she has touched her true nature of no birth and no death. And scientists of our time have found very much the same thing. According to the law of conservation of matter and energy, you cannot create matter. You cannot destroy matter. You cannot create energy. You can also transfer energy. You cannot destroy energy. There's a matter, and it's possible for us to look at matter as a form of energy. And according to the law of the conservation of matter and energy, nothing is born, nothing dies. And Lavoisier has said something like that. Rien ne se crée, rien ne se perd. And that is the true nature of no birth and no death, not only of Jesus, but of everything else, including a cloud or a flower. So not only Jesus has two dimensions in him, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the ultimate dimension and the historical dimension, but a cloud does have two dimensions also, and every one of us does have these two dimensions. Paul Tillich is a German-born theologian. But later in his life, he went to America and settled there. In 1940, Albert Einstein presented a paper in the Conference of Philosophy, Religion, and Science. And he said that he cannot believe that God is in a God that is a person, staying up there and decide everything on earth. And Einstein said that he has a religious feeling. When he observed the cosmos, he admired very much the way the cosmos is organized. And that is very much a religious feeling, but he does not believe that God is a person. Paul Tillich was influenced by that. He also said that God is not a person, but he added, he is not less than personal. We used to think that God should be person so that we can have a personal relationship with him and to talk to him, to pray to him. If he is something impersonal, and then it would be very difficult for us to talk to. Now we tend to think, to see everything through our human way of seeing. We want to personalize everything. We want to see, men want to see that there is the thunder is a god, the wind is a god, justice is a god, and the sun is a god in a human form. But looking back, we see that conversation is possible with the cosmos. And what the Pontilik said, that is very interesting. God is not a person, but not less than personal. Let us think of our planet Earth. She is not a person. She is more than a person. She has given birth to many species, including man, woman. She has given life to millions of species. When I practice walking meditation, I do not see Earth as matter, because matter and mind are two concepts we have produced. Matter does not seem to be intelligent. Matter has no consciousness. That's the way we think. It is consciousness is something other than matter, and we believe that body and mind are two different things. But body and mind are two concepts, and we have learned somehow that body is not possible without mind, and mind is not possible without body. Body and mind inter are. You cannot take mind out of body. It's no longer body. And you cannot take body out of mind. It's no longer mind. Psychosoma. So we are caught in a kind of dual grasping. The idea that body and mind are two entities that can be taken apart of each other. It is possible to transcend both notions, body and mind, in order for us to be able to get true and deep connection with us. These notions are a kind of obstacle. When scientists try to measure the position and speed of a subatomic particle, they find it very strange that an electron can behave sometimes as a particle and sometimes as a wave. And a particle, how can a particle be a wave at the same time? And yet the truth, the half-truth is that the electron is both. Can you take the particle out of the wave and the wave out of the particle? We have our notions. When we go to the river and take some water, we may carry a container. And our container may be round or conic or rectangular. And when we take the water up, we see that the water can be either round or rectangular, long or short. But the true nature of water is neither of these. So with our human mind, we try to seize reality. Reality must be either a particle or a wave. It cannot be both. But reality can be free from all these notions that we have in our mind. And that is why scientists are working very hard to get rid of their notions or their words in order to better encounter our reality. In old time, people believe that there is a deity that inhabit the sun, and they worship the sun. By worshiping the sun, they worship that deity that has a power. But when I do walking meditation and touching the earth, I do not have that kind of dualistic view. I don't see that the earth is inhabited by a kind of deity, because I am not caught by the notion of mind and matter as two separate entities. So let us try to transcend our notions of body and mind, matter and spirit, consciousness and the material world. That is a big obstacle for us. To me, an atom, an electron, is very intelligent. It's no less than consciousness. And that matter cannot rebirth to Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, saints, and so many beautiful creatures. When you go to the meditation hall, you feel that this is a sacred place. You are quiet, and you walk gently. I propose that why we do walking meditation, we do the same. Because it's very sacred out there. We are touching the Bodhisattva, Mother Earth, with every step. We should be very respectful. We are walking on our Mother. And if we walk like that, every step will be healing. Every step will be nourishing. Walk with reverence. And that we should train ourselves to do. Wherever you walk, in a railway station or in a supermarket, you walk on earth. You are in a holy sanctuary. You are walking on Mother Earth. And if you walk like that, there will be peace and brotherhood and healing and transformation in the world. In the light that everyone, everything has two dimensions, the ultimate dimension and the historical dimension. We know that not only Jesus has two dimensions, but we, all of us, have to have two dimensions. We are all sons and daughters of man. We are all sons and daughters of the planet Earth. We are all sons and daughters of God. You are sacred as Jesus. Jesus is our brother. like the Buddha. And Jesus is in you. The Buddha is in you. God is in you. There should be any complex. When you breathe in mindfully, you light up the candle within your heart. The energy of mindfulness is there to allow you to see that you are made of this body and this spirit. And when you connect with your body and your mind, you connect with the earth, you connect with the cosmos. And deep connection with like that will bring you to touch the ultimate dimension in the here and the now. And we know that we will not wait until this the disintegration of this body in order to go home. We are going home in every moment. We are practically going home in every moment to Mother Earth, to God, to the ultimate dimension, to our true nature of no birth and no death. That is our true home. We have never left our home. So to the question whether God is a person or not, the answer comes very simply. Yes, God can be a person. God can be a cloud. God can be a rose. Because a rose, a cloud, carries within herself the ultimate dimension. And that ultimate dimension cannot be described in terms of being, non or non, and non-being, birth and death, and so on. Let us try to arrange so that we'll be less busy in our daily life, so that we have time in order to touch the wonders of life in the here and the now, and touch at the same time our ultimate dimension. We can behave like that wave. And if vertically we can touch our ultimate dimension, and then we will make peace with everything in the horizontal dimension. There will be no war, no conflict, and peace will be possible. Merry Christmas to everyone.